Sweden just had a big election, and the results tell us a lot about the rise of far-right politics across Europe. After last week's vote, a party with neo-Nazi and ultra-nationalist roots has new power and influence. Columnist Ishan Tharoor has been writing about it for our editorial partners at The Washington Post. And Ishan, tell us about the Sweden Democrats and what role neo-Nazis have played in the party's history.
Well, yes, thanks for having me. The Sweden Democrats have completed a really astonishing journey into the political mainstream in Europe. As you said, they were originally a very fringe group that coalesced sort of a bunch of neo-Nazis and right-wing extremists in the late 80s in Sweden, and they remained on the margins of Swedish politics in the decades thereafter. It's only in the last, say, less than the last decade that they have come to the fore in a particular way. They've sanitized their image and resent now the accusations of Nazism, but their many critics have argued that they are still deeply connected to that very dangerous far-right past. And as you said, last week, they scored a pretty impressive victory in the elections, emerging the second biggest party in Sweden, and in a position now to play kingmakers in the formation of the next government.
Yeah, they got 20% of the vote. So as they are a part of this governing coalition in the Swedish parliament, how much power will they have to change policy?
Well, we have to be a bit careful about how we describe their position. Right now, as you know, as is often the case in parliamentary democracies, there is a lot of coalition wrangling happening. And there is the possibility that you will see a minority government of a grouping of center-right parties with the Sweden Democrats sitting outside, but supporting them nonetheless. We're going to see how this all shakes out. I don't want to get into the intricacies of it. But absolutely, they will be a pretty, whether they're inside the government or technically not inside the government, they will be shaping a lot of policies. They will be pressuring the parties in power to take elements of their agenda, which is a very staunchly anti-immigrant, ultra-nationalist agenda. And we'll see to what extent it really pivots Sweden. Sweden, of course, as everyone knows, is this kind of picture postcard example of a successful social democracy, except that narrative has been shifting in recent years.
Well, it hasn't. It's been shifting all across Europe, hasn't it? How far or how does this resonate with other far-right movements in countries like Italy, for example?
Well, yes, I mean, I think you can see what the Sweden Democrats have accomplished in this last election as perhaps the most significant victory of a far-right party in Europe since World War II. And that'll only already be trumped in a few weeks' time in the Italian elections, where it looks quite certain that a far-right party that also has links to a kind of neo-fascist past is set to be the party that takes control, along with a right-wing coalition. And that, of course, does mark a certain moment in European politics. I think what people say to caution against really overinflating the far-right hype is that all these parties are going to have to a certain extent, moderate themselves in power and may find being in governance a lot harder than being in the opposition.
Well, that said, I take your point, but is the change going to have lasting and meaningful impacts in Europe?
Yes, I mean, I think we're seeing elements of a long process of transformation in Western democracies in general, where traditional mainstream parties on the left, on the center-left or the center-right, kind of cave to more radical, more extremist forces, especially from the far-right. And to a certain extent, these far-right parties are moderating their agendas and becoming more mainstream, but they are absolutely having a kind of corrosive effect on the body politic at large. You're seeing more and more center-right parties in various countries in Europe adopt more hardline agendas that have been previously espouted by the far-right. And this does reflect a certain trend of kind of increasingly polarized, increasingly destabilizing, and increasingly divisive politics in Western democracies.
The Washington Post's Ishan Tharoor, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.